بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. So the topic for tonight is, the question was, what are some of the character attributes that we should be working on towards inculcating into our children? So of course we know there are a number of qualities, a number of characteristics that we want our children to have, and ideally all of the characteristics of the believers, the qualities of the Prophet ﷺ, ideally we'd like to have all of us, you know, become like that, including our children. But what are some of the areas that we should focus on, right? That perhaps we should focus on. So we'll talk about a few. And there might be others that are also important that I may not mention tonight. So first of all, what we need to understand is that children are a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, as well as a trust. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us children is a type of amana, a type of trust, and we are responsible in for taking as well as care as possible for our children. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions that the child's heart, or a child, him or herself, is like a nice, clean, and a simple mirror. A child is like a nice, clean, simple mirror. And they are capable of accepting influences, capable of accepting the impressions that we want them to have. So a child starts off with a clean, pure heart. And whichever way we lead the child, or whichever way we let them go, that way the child starts going. So when we look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, when we look at the lives of his companions, radiallahu anhum, and we look at our pious predecessors, our salaf, what are some of the character attributes that we find, and that can give us an idea towards what we should be working towards? The first, of course, is the reliance and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this quality branches out into so many others, right? This in itself, if a child can understand the value of relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if a child can be made to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that he or she is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this in itself then branches out into so many other good qualities. So for example, primarily humility, submission, and valuing everything. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So when a child values Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and understands that everything that he or she gets comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the things we try to emphasize in our classes as well, when we teach children, that whatever good is coming towards you, whatever is happening, it's not because of your own abilities, but rather it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you to do it. Of course, your effort goes into it, you work towards it, but at the end of the day, you have to do your job, and you have to rely and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is the one who's going to bless you, if he decides to do so. So if a child is able to understand this, then this brings humility. Right? Because then the child knows, that just because I got an A or an A+, or just because I won this award in my class, it's not solely because of my own capabilities, not solely because of how good I am, but it's because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given me this capability, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me to achieve this. So that should bring about humility. Now valuing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commandments, that of course brings submission. Right? The ability to submit, the ability to listen to commandments, the ability to follow orders. Right? So if a child can understand from a young age that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be worshipped, we must do this because Allah wants us to do it, we cannot do this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to do it, and that Allah knows what is best for us and what is not good for us. If a child can understand that, then that allows the quality of submission, which is basically what Islam is all about, right? Submission. So that comes out of that as well. And finally, if a child can understand that everything is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that brings the quality of valuing things, respecting things that have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes the parents. Right? So if a child understands that my parents are a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards me, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me these parents who are taking care of me, and I need to value them, the child will understand that. The things that you buy for your children, if a child understands that this is coming from the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to my parents, and they are buying these things for me, then the child will value it and will not waste it. And will respect all of the things, including the environment and everything else that have been bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is extremely important, the reliance and the worship, reliance on and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should start from a very young age. Which should start from a very young age. It could be something very simple as explaining that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so nice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, well, you should also love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged for you. Look at all the things that Allah has given you. Look at all the food that Allah has given you. And all the good things that Allah has blessed you with. So we start off with that, and of course, leading by example, right? So if we take the effort to pray with our children, if we make the effort, even if a child is a newborn, and I say this repeatedly, maybe not here, but in the past, that even if a child is a newborn, don't underestimate the value of doing acts of worship in front of the child, right? So if you're offering your salah, and you make your child sit beside you, or lie beside you, and you're offering your salah, inshallah, that will have an effect on the child. Right? If you recite Quran in front of the child, so much so that some of the scholars would even make, or their mothers would have the habit of reciting the Quran during their pregnancy. Right? And that would even affect the child, because the child hears what goes on. Right now there's a talk about you should talk to your children, right, while they're still in the womb, right, so they get familiar to the voices and get familiar to the parents, with the parents and so on, especially with the father because he's not there all the time. Right? So reciting the Quran, listening to the Quran, all of these things have an effect and play a role in this. So this is something to keep in mind. Secondly, we see, especially nowadays, that you know there are little things that children become afraid of, and that even carries on when they grow older. Right. So I'll give you my example. Since I was a kid, right, I had sisters in my household, right, and they were scared of spiders. Okay, so as I was growing up, I was still, you know, very uncomfortable with spiders. And even nowadays, if I see a spider, you know, I'm going to think twice before I approach it. Right, and I'm going to see, okay, how can I get rid of it without touching it, and so on. Right, so these things, when we are faced with such fears in childhood, they can stay with us as we grow older. Right, even nowadays, right, we're teaching, we're having classes, and you'll see a commotion. No one's studying, and everyone's crowded around. Okay, what happened? There's an ant. Okay, so there's an ant, and everyone's, you know, looking at the ant and see what the ant's doing and trying to see how to get rid of the ant. Oh, it's coming towards me. You know, what do I do? Right, just today, it's like, oh, there's a big spider back there in the corner. Right. So fears, right? Small the fear of small things like that actually can have an overall effect on bravery and how fearful a child is, right? Another thing that parents often do is we try to get our children to submit to our orders, and if they don't listen, then we'll scare them. Right? We'll scare them. Oh, if you don't stop crying, you know, the baba's gonna come. If you don't do this, then you know the police is gonna come. Okay, if it's something that they can actually get in trouble for. Right, so for example, if the child is not putting on the seat belt or you know the belt on the car seat, and you say, okay, you know we can get stopped by the police, okay, that makes sense. But otherwise, you know, just scaring, putting in fear for things that don't really exist is not really appropriate. We look in the past, the young Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Ashab of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very very brave, right, very very brave. And you know, taking part in battles and chasing away bandits and, you know, doing all of these things, right? Then when you look at, and even the people after that, right? Who like, you know, conquests and this and that at very young ages, teenagers, right? Something you wouldn't really imagine nowadays. Something that's very difficult to see nowadays. So, you know, instead of, you know, just keeping them busy with, you know, Batman or Superman or, you know, this man and that man and these cartoons and so on, which is okay to a limited extent, right? But when it comes to stories, it would be a good idea to share stories of our heroes. Right? Share stories of our heroes, share stories from our history. Talk about these brave men, boys and girls, right? Brave men and women. Right? It's not that only the boys or only the men were brave, right? The women and the girls were brave as well. So to share these stories with our children, you know, the stories of you know, the Khulafa, you know, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum, and others as well. And tell them how these leaders, you know, brought about change, and how they brought peaceful change, and how they were embraced by Muslims as well as non-Muslims, and how they used the power, the authority they had, you know, their strength, how they use for positiveness and to bring positive change. Another one, which has to do with, you know, calling the children in today, is having maturity and wisdom. Maturity and wisdom. In the past, I don't know, but you might have noticed, but I certainly did, that people would put more emphasis on keeping their children with them in gatherings where there are elders. Right? So children would spend some time with the elders, would learn how to interact with older people, will learn manners, and they would learn respect, how to sit in a gathering, you know, what is appropriate in a gathering, what is not appropriate in a gathering, to learn words of wisdom from those who are older. And the Sahaba, the young companions of the Prophet ﷺ would do that. Right? They would sit in gatherings with the Prophet ﷺ, and their fathers would bring them to the masjid, and they would make them sit with them, and they would learn many things. Right? And there are stories, numerous stories of very young Sahaba who have, you know, who have narrated a hadith. Right, who have narrated a hadith, because they used to be in those gatherings where they would be learning from the Prophet ﷺ, and they would be picking up tidbits of wisdom which would help them when they grew up. So when they grew older, first of all, it would help them mature more quicker than, you know, if they had just spent their time playing all the time. That's not to say that children shouldn't play or that they should always be with their fathers. Of course, children need to explore, they need to play, they need to spend time together, and they are kids after all, so you can't expect too much from them. But at the same time, to start introducing them to these things so that they mature quickly, and that they acquire wisdom that can help them as they grow older, so that they, when they start growing older and they start making decisions, they act with maturity. They don't make immature decisions. They don't make irrational, hasty decisions. And that they become strong and capable young adults who can take initiative, who can play leadership roles, and they can do things in our communities. And so that they acquire the ability to deal with situations wisely. And this is, wisdom is something that can't be taught. Right? Wisdom is something that can't be taught, but you can certainly pick it up. Right? You can certainly sit in a gathering and sit with those who are wise and pick up examples, pick up, you know, stories, and see how they dealt with things, and then the child can deduce from themselves and try to extract lessons from that and try to apply it in their own lives. Another very important area is physical strength, resilience, and, you know, becoming pampered, right? And this is usually, I think, where the mothers many times come in, because the mothers have a nature of being very protective, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, you know, a lot more love in most cases in their hearts than in the fathers. So they want what is best for their children, and they protect their children, and sometimes very much, and sometimes too much, right? So making sure that our children don't become products, you know, of luxury, pampered, you know, children who are just used to luxury, to extravagance, laziness, idleness, having, you know, everything done for them. And this is something that becomes a problem sometimes later on. And I alluded to this some weeks back when we were talking about marriage issues, right? When we have boys who get used to being served completely by their parents, right? So they'll come down, sit down on the dinner table, okay, breakfast. So someone will come, the mother or father will come and give them breakfast. Their clothes will be ironed and clothes will be ready. Okay, then the parents will drop them off at school. Right, and then I'm going to sound old, because they're going to think I'm going to say, oh, when I was a kid I used to walk five miles to school. Okay, I didn't do that. I used to take the bus. But, you know, so the children get very pampered, and when it comes time for them to actually become adults, they never get a chance to actually become an adult. Right, and all of a sudden they're thrown into a real life situation where they're like, oh no, my parents are not here anymore, what do I do? Right, and in the same way, in the marriage situation, the girl has also been pampered, right? So she also grew up in the same way. So now when they're together, now you have a problem, because the husband's expecting the wife to do it, because his mom used to do it, the wife is expecting the husband to do it, because her father used to do it, now there's a problem. Now they're both hungry and they're both expecting it from each other, and then, you know, problems start developing. So we have to be very careful that we don't make our children such that, you know, they're just used to being served all the time and just become pampered. So you got to break the cycle of comfort. You know, sometimes maybe make them sleep on the floor, or go camping or something, or do something different where they get accustomed to breaking the cycle of luxury, of sometimes being uncomfortable, sometimes, you know, being in a place that doesn't smell nice. You know, my dad would take me to the farms to do dhaya, right? When we were sacrificing animals on Eid al-Adha, you know, he would take me along. I had fun too, right? But, you know, it's not a place where you really want to be, right? It's smelly, it's, you know, it's dirty and so on. But, you know, you get used to these things a little bit, because these are things that sometimes you might have to face in life. Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Get used to a rough life, for luxury does not last forever." Get used to a rough life, because luxury does not last forever. So, you know, to just break that cycle sometimes, and to do something different that makes our children a bit rough and tough, because there might be a time later on when they don't have the luxuries that we have provided for them today. Even if we think of them as necessities, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, but we don't know what type of times might come after we are gone for our children, and we want to prepare them as best as possible to face difficult circumstances. And with that is also encouraging sports and physical activities, right? So whether we get them to do chores around the house, you know, to mow the lawn or to vacuum, or we enroll them in sports and get them to swim, or, you know, horseback riding or whatever it may be, things that will increase physical strength and stamina. And finally, you know, growing confidence and responsibility in children as well, right? To have the responsibility and have the confidence that if they need to speak to someone, if they need to speak in front of a group of people, so that they are able to do that and they are able to stand up for their rights, for example. And so there's the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting in with some elders and a young sahabi being there as well. Right, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to normally would start serving from the right side. If he's serving tea or water or whatever, he would start from the right side. But he asked the young sahabi who was sitting on the right side, "Can I start from the elders, which were on the other side? Right, so can you give up your right? Because normally I would start from you, but can I start from the elders?" And he said, no, my Prophet of Allah, no, you should start from me. I want you to start with me first." Right, so he had the courage, right, to actually say that, right? Because he wanted to be served first by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, he didn't want to give up that opportunity. So he had the courage and you know, the guts to do that. Right. So our children need to have, especially nowadays, right? Especially nowadays in the type of times that we are living in, we don't know, right, the way things are in the world today, we don't know what challenges our children are going to be facing as they grow up. I was just thinking about that the other day, or actually today. I was talking to my wife, and actually it was a news story about Social Security and Medicare in the U.S. and how their funds are running out, and you know, they're not sure how to sustain it and so on after like 2036 or something. So I was like, okay, well, you know, this is what's happening in our lifetime. Things are, you know, deteriorating for Muslims as well. Situation is changing, you know, in North America. I don't know what my daughter, what my children are going to have to face, you know, later on. And even now, they might face, you know, challenges to their faith. They may face discrimination, openly perhaps, right? So do they have the wisdom, do they have the confidence knowing how to respond to that, and how to stand up to that, and how to stand up for their rights, whether it's at school or, you know, in the store or at work, right? So these are things that we want to work on. Confidence to speak publicly, and some of the ways to you know, give them this ability is, again, get them to interact. Get them to interact with people who are older. Get them to say, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you?" How to make small talk. And this will increase their ability of speaking to one another and of opening up to one another. And to build confidence, you know, there's many ways of doing that. If you start giving them small responsibilities, small things that they need to do, it could be around the house, it could be when we go shopping, it could be anything else, and slowly and slowly and slowly get them to understand that they have responsibilities and how they need to take care of matters properly. And inshallah, if we start working on these, then we can start, you know, developing children who will be confident, who will be strong in their faith, inshallah, and who will have the resiliency to stand up to the challenges that they'll be facing in life. The one that I didn't mention, but which is very obvious, is good manners. Right? Is good manners. So, I mean, very simple things, how to behave in the masjid, you know, how to sit, how to talk, you know, in front of elders. You know, the fact that, you know, the younger ones should be the ones who say salam first, who initiate salam to those who are older. Small things like these can make a difference as the children grow up. But if we just think, "Oh, our children, and it's okay, you know, just let them go, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay," then we're just going to keep saying it's okay until it's too late. So we have to start from the very beginning And slowly, not be too harsh, right? Because we don't want, I mean, after all, there are children. There's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made children innocent. Right? There's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold them accountable for their deeds when they're young. Right? It's because they don't have the full maturity, the full understanding to be responsible. So we have to be careful and wise, but at the same time, offer a helping hand, a guiding force that can move them towards the right direction. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me, help all of us in becoming good parents. If you are already parents or grandparents, then passing these qualities on to our children and our grandchildren, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.